Hallelujah. We thank God. Come on, to be a son of God, to be a daughter of God, to be in the kingdom. Come on, we thank God for the kingdom of God. You know, God gave us his kingdom.
Amen.
Come on, we're not waiting on the kingdom. We've got the kingdom. God gave the kingdom to his church. He gave the kingdom to the church so that we could steward the kingdom. You know what that means? It's our responsibility to take care of the kingdom. Come on, the kingdom isn't ours. It's in the church's hands. We're to manifest the kingdom. Come on, if the kingdom of God is going to be seen in the earth, it's going to be seen through me and you.
Amen.
Amen? Isn't that what the Bible says? Christ in us, come on, the anointing of God upon us, the power of God in us, the hope of glory. Come on, the hope of God's glory in the earth today is through the believers. Come on, through the church.
Amen.
So we're called to steward the church, to manifest the church. We're called to build the church. Come on, making disciples. Making converts, bringing them in, building the saints of God, strengthening the church. That's part of our function.
Amen.
It's part of what we do as the people of God. We've got to keep our eyes set upon the kingdom of God and the work of God that God has for us. Come on, that gives us a purpose.
Amen.
Not just sitting in church, not just saying, I got a ticket to heaven. It keeps us with a purpose in the earth. Is that we're stewarding the kingdom. Hallelujah. God gave us everything he needed to get the job done.
Right.
Praise the Lord. Turn with me this morning to Joel chapter 2. That's in the Old Testament. We're going to primarily be speaking out of that scripture this morning and then over also in Acts chapter 2. But we're going to start off here, Joel chapter 2, verses 28 and 29. This is the prophet Joel prophesying. In the Old Testament, the Spirit of God would come upon people in a measure, in a moment, for a purpose. Would come upon the kings, the priests, the prophets, and they would do something, say something of God, and then that spirit would be lifted. And so here we see that Joel the prophet was prophesying. He was speaking on behalf of God in what God would be saying. And this is what the prophet said in verse 28. It says, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days." So Joel was prophesying the fullness of the kingdom, the fullness of God's spirit that was to come. All of the holy stuff of God, the kingdom stuff of God, prophesying, hearing God's voice, dreaming dreams and visions. That means seeing and understanding and knowing and participating in the kingdom of God. These are just some of the aspects of what it is that works in the kingdom of God, the healings, the miracles, the signs, the wonders. Joel was prophesying by the Spirit of the Lord that the good stuff of the kingdom, the holy stuff, the powerful stuff was to come, and it was going to be poured out upon all flesh. That's good news. That means everybody. It means anybody and everybody that wants Jesus, wants to receive him as the Lord of their life, wants to receive the kingdom of God in their life, is eligible, is qualified to have the Spirit of God and all the good stuff of the kingdom come upon their lives. I love that God, who knows all things, foresaw the future. And he made sure that we knew. He made sure that we know today that the Spirit of God is available to everyone. That everyone gets the Holy Spirit. It says he'd pour it out upon the sons and the daughters. Yeah, everyone in the room here. You know, if we were born and we're sitting here, we're a son or a daughter. Come on, we came through a mama and a daddy. Amen. So we're all sons and daughters. That means we're qualified for God's outpouring of the Spirit in our lives.
Yeah.
He also went on to say that the old men would dream dreams and the young men would have visions. Now, that doesn't mean that the old people can only dream and the young people can only have visions. He's just using that as a frame of reference. But I love that God was already foretelling us that everybody of every age group is important.
Amen.
I believe that God saw the days that we're living in now, where some people want to segregate themselves and think, hey, we're only the cool group. Come, and if you're not in my age group or if you're not of my flavor, come on, you know, I'm just going to stay in this group of people here. No, God said he'd pour out his spirit on the young and the old. That means the young have to love the old and be open to the old and the spirit of God through the older folks. Come on, because the older folks, they've seen some stuff. Come on. The older folks, come on. They've forged through some stuff. And if we're going to see all that is God, we're going to have to be open to even the older people. You know, we're not like the world. And the world has done a pretty good job of trying to segregate themselves and even discard some. You know, sometimes it's the older folks that don't want to have anything to do with the younger generation. You know, they think that they're just foolish or that they don't understand things. No, no, no. We're not of the spirit of the world. We're not of the world. We're of the kingdom of God, and everybody matters. Come on, as an older folk, we got to embrace the young people. Come on, we got to love them, even their, the, you know, the way they see things, the way they talk, however it is, as long as it's godly.
Amen.
As long as it's in line with the kingdom. Come on, as long as it's in line with who God is and what God said, we got to embrace that. And same thing for the young folks. Come on, in the kingdom of God, there is no youth culture. Where the youth culture says, I don't want to have anything to do with, you know, them. I got my own stuff. I got my own music. I got my own life. I got my own lingo. I got my own friends. Come on, you're not cool. No, no. We don't live in that kind of a world. Amen. Come on, young folks. Come on, young folks. We embrace everybody. Realize that the Spirit of God is upon all flesh, upon all people. All people of the kingdom, we've all got the good stuff. Amen? And so we want to be embracing each other because God said he was going to pour out his Spirit on everybody. And he said men and women. God settled the woman question long ago. There is no woman question in the church. Hallelujah. Actually, God settled it from the very beginning when he created male and female and made them both in the image of God. And then he just wanted it said, just to reiterate it. Oh, yeah. When the fullness of the kingdom comes, when the outpouring of the Spirit comes, when the kingdom of heaven comes out of heaven into the earth, into the hearts of men, and the fullness of his capacity is coming on the men and the women. Amen. Hallelujah. So we got to hold tight to that because we want to partake of everything that is God. Amen. Hallelujah. God said he'd pour out his Spirit. Did you see that? When God said pour out, he's talking about the God measure of pouring. He's not talking about just a little bit. He's not talking about a drop here or a drop there. He's talking about the flooding. Come on, the flooding, the full measure that comes in God. When you talk about pouring, there are several different aspects of pouring that you can think about. One would be the force with which something is poured. You know, if you have a bottle of something, you can dump it over all real quick, boom, and it just comes out. I mean, as big as the opening is, boom, it comes out. Or you can pull it kind of slowly, slowly. So there's that measure of pouring. Then you also have the measure where it talks about the quantity or the amount of what's poured. You know, if you have a cup that's this full, this size, and you're wanting to make it full, you're only going to pour up until about right there, and then you're going to stop, right? So there's a pouring of the amount of the measure. Then there's also the duration of a measure of pouring. You know, you can pour for just a short time, or you can pour for a long time, or you can pour continually. You know, when I was a young girl, my parents used to say this all the time when it would come a big rain. They would say, it's coming a downpour. Do we still say that? Is that a still term? Is that a still a term you? It's coming a downpour. When it meant a downpour was coming, I mean, it wasn't like it was just raining. Because, you know, we live in Texas, so we see rain often. I mean, but when it was downpouring, it was a lot of rain. Come on, it was hard rain. Come on, it was big rain. It was a big amount of rain. And a lot of times it would rain and it would rain and it would rain. And my parents would say, it's a downpour. You know, what that meant was that there's coming enough rain that we've seen enough rain. Well, God said he would pour out his Spirit. The measure of God pouring in the duration, in the amount, and in the force or the thrust of that is liberal. Come on, it's in the excess. It's in the overflow. Amen. Praise God. Come on, it's in the gushing measure that God said that He would pour out His Spirit enough, more than enough, enough that it would fill everything. Amen. That it would completely fill and it would totally fill everything. I love that story of Jesse Duplantis. If you've never heard his testimony of when he went to heaven, I think it's called God Encounters. Close Encounters of the God Kind. Thank you. Close Encounters of the God Kind. There was some sort of something that was going on with milk. Do y'all remember this? And they were pouring milk into a cup. And when it got full, it began to spill out. And he was like, whoa, whoa, stop, stop. And they're like, no, that's the measure of heaven. More than enough. Overflowing. Continually coming. Praise the Lord. I love that. That's what God said He'd do about His Spirit. Malachi chapter 3, you don't have to turn there. But in verse 10, it's talking about bringing the tithes into the storehouse so that we have meat. And God says that we could try them in this right here, that if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be enough to receive it. You see that? This is an Old Testament scripture. God talking about opening up the windows of heaven. And just in those windows, remember in the Old Testament, the Spirit of God was not given in its fullness. Would come in a measure, would come upon people, depart. The Lord said that He would open up the windows, just the windows of heaven, of the kingdom of heaven. And just from those windows opening, that the flow would come in the measure of not enough room to receive it. In other words, just the windows opening caused the flow of that to not be able to be contained. Now think about that for a moment. Just the windows of heaven. But guess what? God said He was going to pour out His Spirit. And when He poured out His Spirit, He brought the Holy Spirit, the representative of heaven, in the fullness that was the kingdom of God, out of heaven, into the earth. And when He came, the floodgates of heaven opened. Hallelujah. Not just the windows. Are you getting what I'm telling you? Yeah. Not just the windows where already there was more than what could be contained. We're talking about now the floodgates of heaven opened up. And God poured out His Spirit. He poured out the kingdom. He poured all that was God, the glory of God. He poured all of the heavenly stuff, the angelic help. He poured it out through those floodgates came down into the earth, into our lives. Hallelujah. God said He was going to do it, and He did it. Turn with me to Acts chapter 2. The outpouring came in Acts chapter 2. The thing that was prophesied about, the thing that was foretold actually happened. Acts chapter 2 verses 1 through 4. It says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a mighty rushing wind. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Did you see that? It filled the whole house where they were sitting. Come on, when the Spirit of God comes in like a flood, it can come into the atmosphere. Come on, it can come into your life. It can come into your house. It can come into your workplace. It can come into your car. Come on, it can come into the church house and fill the place. That's the measure in which God poured. Not somebody, did something just happen? No, it filled the Holy Spirit Himself, God Himself, love Himself, peace Himself, joy Himself. Hallelujah. Filled the house. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. I love that. Not one person was left out. They all got the fire of God. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Hallelujah. The Spirit of God came upon them with such a mighty force. It was like a downpour of the Spirit of God with such force, with such power, in such an amount that it changed them. Hallelujah. They began to speak in tongues, a heavenly language, a holy language, sounds their tongue had never made before. How many of you remember when you got filled with the Holy Spirit? Come on, and you begin to speak with the tongue and something began to fill you. I remember when I was a little girl, I couldn't roll my R's. I couldn't do that until I got filled with the Holy Ghost. And I mean, after I was, because something, you know, and it just kind of, it sounded more ferocious. Literally, as a young girl, I couldn't do that. When someone would want to say a word, I'd be like, I couldn't get it out. But the Holy Ghost, come on, the Holy Ghost, I mean, came upon me and something of my tongue, come on, it became supernatural. It became a holy language. Come on, it became a connection with the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. The fullness of Pentecost came. The Holy Ghost came. The Old Testament prophecy came to pass. Listen. And there was no questioning or wondering that something had happened. Amen. They knew in that moment, oh yeah, that something grand, come on, that something powerful, that something life-changing had happened. Hallelujah. Come on, there were sounds of heaven. There were sounds that had never been heard to the natural ear. There were sights of heaven, fire that sat upon the heads of people. Sights that had not been seen before. These sounds of heaven, these sights of heaven, they filled the room and they filled the people. Glory. Glory. And things were changed. Forever, the earth was changed. Forever, God's people were changed in that moment. Hallelujah. It was a measure of God. It was the fullness of God that had never, ever been experienced by a man that came through the Holy Spirit. That's Pentecost. That's the outpouring. And that's the days that we're living in. Hallelujah. Come on, that was the initial outpouring, but the outpouring is still here. We are living in those days, in these days. This is that. Come on, this is that today. When the people of God are filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, orchestrating the kingdom. Hallelujah. But what facilitated the outpouring? I want to know. I want to know because I want to be able to facilitate in my life that outpouring and the realities of it. Not just that I read about it in the book, but that I can experience it. All of the realities of what happened. Amen. Have you ever had fire sit on you? Come on, have you ever had the fire of God fall on you? We should. Amen. We're pursuing what facilitated that in this moment because kingdom things don't just happen. They happen on purpose. They happen because someone wanted it. And because someone prayed and believed for it. Isn't that the truth? They happen because someone found out the secret and put it to work in their lives. This is how spiritual things happen. The saints in the upper room that day, they were gathered together, all together, and they positioned themselves in such a way before God that they received something new. Something more. Something that God wanted them to have. Something that they needed. Things that were necessary. I want to tell you this morning that there are things that God has for you. No matter how long you've been at this, no matter how much you've seen, there are new, still new things. There are new things coming from heaven. Come on, there are new sounds to hear. Come on, there are new sights to see. Come on, there are new things to be uttered of God. Come on, there are new things. There are more things for us that God is wanting to give, that God is wanting to do. But we've got to find ourselves positioned for these things of God. Hallelujah. These are the things that we need to accomplish God's will in our life. Don't we want to accomplish God's will? Yes. Don't you want to accomplish God's will?
Yes.
Well, guess what? We also together are assigned in this place, in this church, in this local assembly, in Houston Faith Church, to accomplish God's will in the assembly. Come on, we as a church have an assignment. We have an part in the glory of God. We have a part in the kingdom of God. We have things to do, things to bring about. We are a piece, a vital piece, a big piece of the puzzle of God's church. And we've got to fully accomplish the will of God for Houston Faith Church. Amen. We want to do that. That's why we're contending here. Come on, contending. You know, contending is not just a simple contend. It's a fighting where I'm a contender, man. You know, in the fight, there's the contender. I'm the contender. What am I contending for? The fight of faith. I'm contending for the kingdom of God. Come on, we got to contend for some things. That means we got to get them in our heart fiery. Come on, we got to get a fire in our eye. Oh, yeah, we're contending for some things of God here. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We're contending for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Why? Because faith pleases God. Because faith gets the answer. Come on, because faith gives us the victory. Come on, because God is a faith God. Hallelujah. So we're contending for the faith that was delivered to the saints. In other words, the saints that we see in the early church, the faith that they had to bring about God's kingdom, to manifest the glory of God. That's what we're contending for at Houston Faith Church. Amen. Come on, we're contending for the fullness, pressing in for the fullness of God's kingdom to see the realities of it at Houston Faith Church. Hallelujah. We're believing to experience and live in revival mode.
Yes.
Not just a little bit, not just a trickle, not just come in and have a little feel good. I'm talking about living in revival. Where revival is everywhere we are at every minute of every day. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. And we're contending for these things individually, yet corporately. Individually and corporately. That's important to God. That's why God instituted local churches that make up the church. Because there's a corporate life together. Because we're not called to do this on our own. We're not called to run the race on our own. We're not called to just listen to the teachers, the preachers on TV and support them from a distance. No, we're called to get in the assembly together because we've got assignments. Come on, because you've got a supply of faith. Come on, because you've got a supply of the anointing. Because you've got a supply of the power that you bring into the local church.
Yes.
And so God is interested in our corporate life.
Amen.
And I will endeavor to say that if you don't get active, if you don't get well positioned in the corporate life, you're going to miss out on half of what God does.
Amen.
You're going to miss out on about half of it. Now, you know, I know that we're supposed to be optimists, you know, when the glass is half full. But still, I don't want a half full glass with God. Come on, we're going to go for the whole thing. We want to get all of it. That means we're going to do it in the corporate measure because there is a place for the Spirit of God to dwell corporately among us, to inhabit us together, to move mightily in the midst of the company gathering. I want that. I want that for me and I want that for you. I want that for us. God wants it and I want it. We see it in the early church. They would say it, all the people together, you know, all the churches. There was something about the corporate setting that was important to God. I want to see the glory cloud roll in.
Amen.
Not just in my own time with the Lord sitting in His presence, but in the assembly. Because I've seen it. I've experienced it. There's something about us doing it together.
Yeah.
It's better. It's more fun. It's gooder. Funner. When we do it together.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. I want the fire burning in us together. I believe we can have it. How many of you believe we can have it?
Yeah.
If we all want it.
Amen.
And there's the challenge. That is the challenge. It's a challenge. I hear a challenge from God today. Can we all want it?
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times today there's all kind of challenges out there. Come on, you know, if you're losing weight or you're going to diet or, you know, the workout, the 30-day challenge. Come on, sign up for the 30-day challenge and 30 days do this. And, you know, then a while back they had the ice bucket challenge and you'd see all kind of people. I believe it's time for the church to have a challenge.
Yeah.
The Houston Faith Church challenge is that we all want the outpouring.
Amen. Yeah.
Do we want it?
Yes.
Hallelujah. All of us together pursuing it. Come on, stepping up together, doing more together, having more together. I want to go with you. If I have to, I may go without you, but I don't want to. I want to go with you because there's more together.
Amen.
Come on, if one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000. Come on, when the saints get together, the measure of it is multiplied, magnified.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I want it, and I believe there's a way, but it is going to take something of us. It's going to require something of us. This is that part again, Chris, this is the part where we have to talk about the truth of God, that it's not just all up to God, that we can't throw it all up to God and just tiptoe through life, que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be. I will go to church on Sunday and see what will happen. No, this is the part where we partner with God. That God's always looking for a man, for a woman, for a church that will agree with him. Come on, that will seek him, that will go after him, that will get together on pulling the kingdom of God out of heaven, the fullness of it, into our life, corporately and individually. That's what God wants. He wants us to do it together. But it's going to take something. It's going to take some hunger. And you can say that you have hunger all day long, but there's evidence of hunger. If you're not praying, you ain't hungry. If you've not fasted some, you're not really hungry. We're going to have some hunger if we want to see the fullness of God's outpouring in a continual fashion. We're going to hunger for it. We're going to have some humility. We're going to humble ourselves. We're going to have to get totally dependent upon God. We're going to lay aside all the things of the world. We're going to lay aside all the things that try to take our affections and our attentions. We're going to have faith. We're going to believe that we can have it because God said we can. We're going to have some love. We're going to want it for one another. And I want it for you. I do. I want God's fullness in your life. Absolutely. And we're going to have unity. A lot spiritually hinges on unity. Unity is being in one accord. It's oneness, harmony, and being in agreement. I'm talking about all of us together. It's going to take unity for us to have the outpouring that God intends for us, that God wants for us. Being of one accord means the motive and the intent, they're the same. It means the heart and mind, same. It means the faith and the pursuit, the same. It means we're going in the same direction, after the same thing, at the same time. And let me tell you, there's a spiritual thrust in unity. I mean, when an assembly of people get in unity, there is a spiritual thrust upward that happens because it's spiritual, because it's supernatural, because it's powerful. There's a power in the unity, in being in agreement. Amen. Unity is what facilitates what God wants to do. Unity is what facilitates what God wants to bring about. Now turn with me over to Acts chapter 1 real quickly. Acts chapter 1 verse 14. Now this is when the saints were gathered in the upper room. They were waiting on the promise given by Jesus. Verse 14 says, these all, everybody say all.
All.
These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. They continued. They were praying for something. Come on, something new was coming. Something powerful was coming. Something more was coming. And they were all together as one in pursuit of it. Then we saw it in Acts chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in all one place. Then in verse 4, the Spirit filled them. But you see that they were with one accord in one place. When the new thing came, when the thing of something more came, it came through the unity of the saints. They were all together as one, and they were all in the same place. They weren't all somewhere else, having something else to do. They were in the same place. And it came in the corporate assembly. The fullness, did you think about that? God, why didn't God do it at their homes? Why didn't God tell them to pray alone? Church, are you there? Sure, we can pray at home. Sure, we can pray alone. But there's sometimes we need to be in the church house praying together to create a something for God to bring together. Hallelujah. That's what happened. They were together. It was unity that was the opening place for the Spirit of God to come and to manifest. We don't know how long it took. We don't know how long they'd been praying. We don't know exactly what was happening. But we do know this, that God was waiting on them to get in one accord. God knew they needed it. He already promised it was going to happen. But he was waiting till something. Till what? Till they were unified. Till they were as one. Till they were of one mind, one voice, one heart, one soul, pursuing the same thing. God was waiting on that moment. And I believe that that's a pattern today. There's many things that God has for us, intends for us, wants for us, but he's waiting. Sometimes he's waiting on your own unity with him. Just your own unity, just your own agreeing with God. Stop agreeing with the world. Stop agreeing with yourself. Stop agreeing with the devil. Stop agreeing with your friends. Start agreeing with God so God can do what he wants in your life. But then that spills over into the corporate church. God wants to do some things. But he's looking for unity. He's expecting unity. It is the pattern here. It's a pattern. You know, when I was a young girl, my mama sewed. Any of you sewers in here? Did any of you sew? Not very many people sew. A lot of people back in the day. You know, my mama sewed my clothes and everything. Okay, and so, you know, she would come up with an idea of what she wanted, but she didn't try to just come up with something on her own. Listen, church, we don't get to come up with how we think, you know, what we can do to make God be God in our midst, to make the fullness of God, make room for miracles. We don't get to come up with that ourselves. God gave us a pattern. So my mom would go, she would take me to the clothing store with all the clothes, you know, the big spools of all the fabrics, but the patterns. Oh, that was my... Oh. That was the part I didn't like. And she would sit at that table with those big pattern books. And she would start thumbing through those books because she was looking for the pattern of the thing that she knew we needed to make, the thing that we needed to have. She was looking for that because she knew if she got the pattern, if she bought the pattern and she laid the pattern out, she would have a really good chance of replicating, come on, what she was seeing in her heart. This is the way it is with the kingdom. God has given us a pattern for the outpouring of his Spirit. He's given us a pattern. We don't get to bypass the pattern, come up with a different pattern, make up something else if we really want to emulate and live in the reality of the outpouring. And I do. So I need you... and me to get with the pattern. Amen. And the pattern is unity. Yeah. When the local church gets unified, it's the pattern for the kingdom of God, for the outpouring, for the miraculous, for the supernatural, for miracles, for signs, for wonders, for vision, for glory, for answers, for help, for healings, for life, for deliverance, for peace, for joy, for everything in the full measure, not just a little bit, not just a trickle, not just to see it sometimes, but living in it. It's the pattern, unity. If unity facilitated the initial outpouring, then unity facilitates the continual outpouring. I'm going to say it again, because this is how God said it to me. If unity facilitated the initial outpouring, then unity facilitates the continual outpouring. We say we're living in the days of the outpouring. Hallelujah. And we are. We're seeing some. We're experiencing some. But there's more for us corporately. Amen. And we're going to have to get in unity. Come on, unity is the way to go. Have you ever thought about the Godhead, the Trinity, God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and what makes them so successful? Have you ever thought about that? Because the Bible tells us that God the Father is a person. Jesus the Son is a person. And the Holy Spirit is a person. They're separate. They're distinct. They each have different roles. They each have different positions. They each have different functions. Okay? But it's necessary for the kingdom of God to function, for the kingdom of God to accurately work as it's intended. It takes all three of the Godhead, God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They're all working. They all have assignments, things they're doing. But why are they so effective? Because they operate as one. Because they are in perfect unity. The Son is always accomplishing the will of the Father. The Holy Spirit is always revealing what Jesus is saying. They're in perfect oneness, perfect harmony, perfect unity. And that's what makes them successful. Can you imagine what would have happened if Jesus would have gotten in the earth and thought, I don't really like that part of God's will. I'm not going to do that. I'll do something else. No, that's we think, what? He's the Son of God. He knows God. He knows that God knows best. He knows that God knows all things, right? What if the Holy Spirit came into a service and just decided, I'm not going to demonstrate Jesus today. I'm just going to do my own thing. I'll just do whatever I, what? See, really, in the reality of them, they're not even capable of that.
Right.
And that's really how we should be. I believe that we, the church, are born of the family of God. And as the body of Christ, we're called to operate like the Godhead. Each one of us, separate, distinct, different churches, separate, distinct. But it takes all of us in unity, all of us in oneness, all of us doing our part to get the job done. We're going to have to function like the Godhead. We're going to have to function in agreement. If we want all that God has, how many of you want all that God has? Come on, take the challenge. Come on, we want the outpouring. We want it in its fullness. We're going to have to be in agreement. One time I had a vision. I want to share this with you. I know that sometimes visions don't quite, when you're not seeing it yourself, maybe the power of it doesn't get resonated quite the same. But I just feel like the Lord wants me to share it. Many years ago, I was in prayer, leading corporate prayer, and I had a vision. And in the vision, I saw God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, Pastor Joni, did you see them in bodily form? No. No, but I saw them in my heart. And they were separate. They were distinct. Each one of them brilliant. Each one of them glorious. But all of a sudden, as I was watching them, they came together as one. Not one in a bodily form. You know, when I was a little girl trying to understand the Trinity, I used to think, do they come together in like one bodily form? But that's not it. It's just that they're of one heart, of one mind. They're always in total harmony and agreement, thinking the same thing. They came together as one. And when they did that, the brilliance of the kingdom of God, I saw the glory of God, the power of God. It was majestic. It's beyond natural description. You know how Paul said, you know, when he went into the third heaven, that there were just things that could not be articulated. That's how it is. You know, many of you have had visions. So all of a sudden, as I was standing there in the majesty and the glory of the oneness of the Trinity, I saw myself peering into Houston Faith Church. And the doors opened and the saints began coming in, and I would see them, and one and separate and distinct and each their own. And they were coming in, and all of a sudden, in the spirit, they became one. And God said, the saints or one. I remembered it. He spoke that to me so clearly, and I could see it in the spirit. How even though the saints were themselves distinct, had separate lives, in the spirit they were one. And the minute I saw it, the church was filled with the glory of God. I understood at that moment the power of unity. I understood the need for unity, the necessity of the unity, and I captured God's heart in that moment of unity. He was so pleased. It was so pure to Him. It was so holy to Him in that moment when the saints are one. And then He reminded me of Psalm 133 verses 1 through 3, how pleasant and how good it is when the brethren dwell together in unity. And then He relates that to the oil, the Holy Spirit, the anointing, and the blessing, and commanded life from that place of unity. That's what we're pursuing, the pattern of the early church. If you look at just the book of Acts alone, 11 times it talks about them being in unity or in one accord. It is the pattern. It's the place for us to facilitate all that is God, all that is the kingdom of God, the glory of God, the outpouring of God's Spirit. It's what we must press into, because the unity is what facilitates the things of the kingdom. If we really want the kingdom life, if we want the things that God has for us, if we want the more, if we want the new things, if we want to continue and go upward and upward, we're going to have to be in unity. And we're going to have to be in greater unity. Listen, Houston Faith Church is our assignment. Not just our assignment. Our assignment. Amen. God didn't say, okay, to start Houston Faith Church, Pastor Chaz and Pastor Johnny, just y'all two do it. No, He puts people in it. He assigns us. We have a responsibility. When we stand before the Lord Jesus, we will be accountable for our part in the local assembly. Listen, I don't care what anybody tells you. Every time a believer is saved, God's intent is for them to get active in a local church so that they can bring about their part of the kingdom of God. We have things to do. We have things to do together. But we're going to have to get in step. We're going to have to go together. It's precious to the Lord. It's important to the Lord. And I'll tell you one reason why. Because the church can't be effective without it. The effectiveness of any church really hinges on the unity of the saints. And I'm not talking about the church at large. Listen, we love the church at large. We're part of the church at large. But the church at large is made up of local churches. Amen. And so again, you can't sit at home watching your TV and watching the preacher on TV and think that you're going to pull your weight of the kingdom with the worldwide ministry that doesn't know you. Come on, we got to get real here. If you're going to see the glory of God and the outpouring in a real way, you're going to see it through your local church. Hallelujah. It's important to God. It's important that we get on the same page, that we get hooked into the same vision. And the way this thing works is that Jesus is the head of the church. Now listen, in any local church that's really got the heart of God, the pastors know that the Lord Jesus is the head of the church. He's the head of the universal church, but he's the head of the local church. Listen, Houston Faith Church was born out of the heart of God through the Lord Jesus given to Pastor Chaz and I. And we believe that he is the head. It's our responsibility to know what he's saying, what he wants done, and to hook into that. But it's the assignment of every, it's the responsibility of every believer in that local church to come up under the pastor. And this is why we have to have humility. Because you're going to have to trust the Spirit of God through your pastors. You're going to have to be willing to lay down your own, maybe sometimes your own will and your own thoughts and your own plans and how you see it done and come up under the pastor. Because I'm telling you, when we all get in unity, when we all stay in unity, I'm telling you what it's going to be. It's going to be glory beyond what we thought or imagined.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It comes through the pastor. The pastor gives it to the people. And so our job is to agree with the pastor. What's the pastor preaching? What's the pastor saying? What's the pastor praying? What's the pastor believing God for? Listen, I'm not telling you that you can't hear some other things, but you got to hear what's going on with your pastor. And the same thing that your pastor is saying is what you ought to be saying for your church. The same thing that your pastor's praying is what you ought to be praying. Why? Which is why I'm always constantly encouraging you to get involved in corporate prayer. You need to pray with some people other than just yourself at your house. You need to get in unity and pray. What's happening here? What are we believing for? Because those prayer people know. What your pastor's praying for is what you ought to be praying for sometimes. What your pastor's believing for is what you ought to be believing for sometimes. And we've seen this at work here at Houston Faith Church. I'll tell you a really good example is when we had that $1 million goal for that building. Because that building is God's idea. It's not Pastor Chaz's idea. Listen, we could have sat back and just been really comfortable.
That's right. Amen.
But God said, there's a promised land over there and I want you to have it.
Amen.
And when we came up with that $1 million, listen, if you look around at the number of people here, if you know the vocation of the people here, if you know the income of the people here, you know that $1 million in a year in an assembly like this, that's supernatural. That's miraculous. It's beyond what mere man can do by itself. But what happened is we got in unity. We said that's God's will. It's God's assignment. And we're going to do it. We're just going to be the vessel. And we were all speaking it. And we were all praying it. We were all believing. And we were all sowing into it.
Amen.
Together. And guess what? That unity made the place for the miraculous.
Amen.
That unity made the place for God to say, that's it. Yeah. And money just kept coming and money kept coming and money kept coming. And the $1 million, $1 million and $1,007,000 in a year. To God be the glory. That's a part of the outpouring of God's Spirit. God giving us the ability to do something, to accomplish something supernatural together. Hallelujah. So listen, if we're going to be in unity, I'm going to have to say it. You're going to have to be aware of other things creeping in and distracting you and pulling your focus. Okay? Now listen, there's lots of good preachers. There's lots of good television preachers. There's lots of good worldwide ministries. And you ought to be able to hear some of those and listen to some of those as an add-in, but they're not your primary source. And if you find a television preacher or your favorite preacher pulling your focus here, we've got a problem. If you're more interested in what this so-and-so said about 2019 than what your pastor says about 2019, there's going to be a problem. Because we can't be in unity like that. If you're listening to other people whose doctrines aren't the same, if you're listening to people who's all about the sovereignty of God and you don't have to have any faith and, you know, that faith stuff, that's going to mess you up. Listen, in my early days as a prophet, you know, I tried to stay in tune with things that were going on and thought I needed to listen. You know, there were prominent prophetic voices at that time. And so I would, you know, get the emails and God, you know, I would read sometimes some of these things. I'd be like, what? This is like so confusing. I mean, there's nothing of like New Testament prophecy and what is going on. But then I would beat myself up because I would think I was just being critical. Lord, I don't want to be critical. You know, these are people, you know, I mean, I wanted to try to hook in with what they were saying. When I would run to Pastor Chas, the teacher. And I would say, can you read this? Because I'd be thinking, what's wrong with me? And he would read it and he would say, throw that away. And I would get it the next month and I would try to, and I'd be like, oh, some of this doesn't even sound scriptural. Teacher, what is it? And he said, that's garbage. Throw it out. Amen. Finally, he told me, he said, just stop listening. Don't read it. And when he said that finally after several times, it just totally freed me up. What I realized is that whether they were right or wrong, listen, not all prophetic things are right, I hate to say, but it's true. Not all things are really prophetic or really prophetic. But that beyond the thing is that it was trying to throw my thrust or my attention or into certain things. That wasn't what God was saying to us. That wasn't in that moment. That's why you have a local church. The universal church isn't going the same direction all the same time. That's why you have to stay in your local assembly and know what's going on and be in agreement and get hooked up. And you're going to have to be willing sometimes to lay down your ideas and you think you might have an idea, but you don't know everything that's to come. You don't know what the Lord has really said to the pastor. You know, Peter thought one time when the Lord Jesus told him something that was coming, he thought he had a better idea. And he told the Lord Jesus no. And the Lord rebuked him. He disagreed with the Lord. Don't find yourself in disagreement in the body. It's important. Pastor Nancy Dufresne, who I highly respect, made this comment. This is a quote. I felt like it was important for you to hear this. She said, if you're not in unity with your pastor, you're not in unity with God. Heart check. Have you read your pastor's books? Are you listening to your pastor's messages more than anyone else's? Didn't say you couldn't hear other messages, but where's your focus? And if you are ever giving more to another ministry or even equal to what you're giving to your local church, you're out of order and you're out of unity. And let me tell you something about unity. It's so spiritual, but it's most of the time unseen. And it can mess up churches. It can stifle things of God. Pastor and I learned this, you know, from experience. You know, years ago, the church felt like it hit a stagnant place, like it was kind of stale, like we couldn't go, like we didn't really know what it was. You know, as a pastor, you love everybody. You're believing in everybody. You're hoping, even if you sometimes sense someone's listen, believe it or not, we sense it. But, you know, we're working, man. We're praying. We're trying to get, you know, because we want everybody to be in agreement. We want everybody to stay together. We didn't know really what was happening. About 2 weeks later, one of the leaders comes and says, you know what? I feel like I need to leave. And we're like, oh. You know what happened? Somehow, along the way, their heart got out of unity. They just dissented somehow. They disagreed somehow. That was fine. We had to let them go. Did we love them? Absolutely. Was it better that they go if they can't stay in unity and they can't get their heart right? Is it better that they go? Yeah, I will say this, though. Many times people take those things with them. If you can't get your heart right in an assembly and leave because you know it's God with your heart fully, fully full, fully in love, fully no issues, fully no offense, fully not my feelings hurt, you'll carry that to the next place and you'll find out that the pattern will just, it'll just go and go and go. I've seen it. I've seen it mess up believers' lives. But they left, and guess what happened? The church began to thrive again. We began to grow again. The Spirit of God began to move again. And it taught us something. How precious and how powerful unity is. We've got to have it. Hallelujah. And listen, it's going to take some humility. It's going to take some maturity. You have to practice it. You have to practice unity. Practice makes perfect. Come on, practice makes perfect. All believing together, moving the same direction together. Listen, the Bible says that a house divided cannot stand. A house divided against itself can't stand. We can't override these scriptures and just act like it's not there. Hallelujah. It's a tall order. Unity is a tall order. But it's what we strive for. Because being in one accord, it's the synergy of God's house. It's the synergy. And it's what makes room for the miraculous, for the supernatural. How many of you want to see the supernatural? Come on. In your life, come on. In the church, we want to see it. We're going to have to be unified. Hallelujah. We're going to have to be together. I believe, and I say these things, I don't say these things lightly. I don't say these things that often. But I believe that we're really on the brink of some things. Some things busting open and some things coming forth. Some things that we've prayed, that we believe, that we've desired. I believe that we're right there. But God's, he's waiting. He wants to make sure we're all in. We've all got to be on the same page. We all got to be pulling the weight. We can't be just coming to church. We don't come to church on Sunday just to see what God does. We come with the supply of the Spirit. Come on, we come with our faith. We come with our power. We come with the fire of God. We come to be the vessel, be the place for God's glory to dwell in that day. Last night, man, as I was praying, boy, God just started speaking things to me about things that are to come. I mean, they're right there in the future. And I believe that in 2019, do you hear this? I believe that in 2019, the Lord is going to give us a word, a direction, a something. And that God's working around that is going to be that there's going to be a unified coming together. I mean, not just like, oh yeah. I mean, where we are all in it. I mean, hook, line, and sinker. We are in it together. And I just believe that some things are going to blow open. And I believe that we're going to see the outpouring on a regular basis.
Hallelujah.
I mean, I'm hearing some words. Lord, refrain me. But this is a season. I know there are lots of seasons, but listen, I really believe that we're on the brink of a new season. We're on a brink of a higher season. Come on, a greater season. Come on, a miraculous season. Come on, a season of completion. We're on the brink of the season of glory. I'm talking about, boy, I have contended for the glory for years and years, and I have known that there are other levels. Even a couple of years ago, the Lord was talking to me, to the church, about the next level of glory. And I'm going to tell you, I couldn't get you all there with me. Sometimes God has to tell you things to come, but I believe we're closer today than we were 2 years ago when the Lord gave me the word. So it's time. I mean, it's time for our cry to be unified. It's time for our cry to be together, together, together. Come on, we're going together. The outpouring together. God's glory together. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, when you look at the book of Acts, when you look at the pattern of the early church, there's all kind of benefits of being in unity. I mean, when they were in unity, things were happening. I mean, glorious things. I've got listed here 10 benefits that the early church saw as a result of being in unity. And Wednesday, I'm going to preach them. So you ought to come Wednesday. But these are glorious days. Glorious days for us. And I'm excited about what the future holds. As people of God, we get little things of the Bible and we almost use them as cliches. But sometimes they're always the Word of God. But sometimes they really are for a moment in a season. And I believe that God is not only able to, but is about to do exceedingly abundantly in this place. what we can even think or imagine. I'm believing that the word of the Lord that says that maybe we were born for such a time as this. I'm believing that that season is upon us. I think it's great days. I think that the glory of God's going to fill the earth. I think it's going to fill Houston Faith Church. I think that that same, that vision that I had with the Lord, you know, I have that. I've seen it. I've read it. But all of a sudden, it's like fresh. It's fresh in my heart. And the power that resonated from the church being together and the glory that I saw. Hallelujah. Mark and Trina were here, you know, and they just prophesied about the next place of glory. I believe we're going to see manifestations of God's glory. I believe we're going to hear some sounds. I know a minister told a story one time. He was in a church overseas and he was trying to minister. And he said the people were very, really seemingly disinterested. They were actually talking and, you know, just kind of really even weren't listening as he was preaching. He said, and all of a sudden just there came this sound. And he said it was like a freight train. But he said it was like a freight train almost that was on the inside of you. It was so loud that when it happened, he said he fell to his knees and instantly, just in the church, the fear of the Lord came and settled upon the people. And it instantly took those people from being disinterested, very casual toward the things of the Lord, instantly into the fear of the Lord. And they started repenting and they were crying and they were running to the altar because the sound of heaven came. There are some sounds to be heard. I believe that our best days are ahead. Amen. Not because it's been said before, not because it sounds good, not because I'd like to believe it. I believe by the Spirit of the Lord that our best days are ahead. And I believe we must position ourselves in the place of unity so that God can bring about everything that He desires for us in this season.
Thank you for joining us for the preaching of God's Word. We trust that your faith and your love for God is stronger than ever before. More information about Stevenson Ministries and Houston Faith Church is available online at HoustonFaith.tv. Chaz and Joni Stevenson are the pastors of a dynamic, growing church in Houston, Texas, and have a New Testament vision of preaching the uncompromised Word of God with the power of the Holy Spirit, helping people get saved, and building strong Christians who can impact their world. Houston Faith Church is a place where the love of God is real, where lives are changed, and where followers of Jesus become fishers of men.